You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kirk Cousins joins us the day after every Redskins game on Grant and Danny, and this Friday after a Thursday night Thanksgiving win is absolutely no different. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. We are joined now by the Redskins starting quarterback, Kirk. Congratulations. Eat up and feast on your Thanksgiving, which is today with your family, because you guys didn't get to have one in the hotel yesterday. You guys got a much-needed win while battling a bunch of injuries.
Oh, yeah, it was a hard-fought game, and we knew it would be. The Giants are a better football team than their record. They've got a great defense, and they gave us fits all night long. And we are a little shorthanded, as everyone knows, but I was proud of the way we just kept playing. We were resilient. Our defense kept us in the game all night long, and we're very dominant. And we found a way to get a great win at home on Thanksgiving. It was a memorable night, that's for sure.
Kirk, couple short things. Shorthanded, as you mentioned, and short week, as short a week as you could possibly have with, you know, a kind of a rotating cast. Just go into the challenge of getting everybody on the same page and how difficult that was to get everybody pulling in the same direction here for last night's game.
Yeah, I think it was tough losing Chris Thompson on Sunday. We had such a short amount of time to get a running back ready to go for third downs. And Byron Marshall did a good job stepping up and learning the offense quickly. But that was a lot to ask of him. And, you know, Ari Quandjo having to step in at left guard, Ty Nsekhe moving to left tackle, Chase Roullier having broken his hand being out, and Tony Bergstrom stepping in at center. It has been a bit of a revolving door at some different positions this year, and we found a way. You know, I think it was a good job by coaches to create a scheme that we could handle on such a short week, and there were still a lot of plays that, you know, weren't executed at a high level, partly because of all of those challenges. But, again, when your defense plays that well, when you have, you know, big plays in the red zone, it makes a big difference.
Kirk Cousins is with us on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Joins us the day after every Redskins game. Samaje Perine rushed for 100 yards for the second time in his two starts since taking over that job. And in the second half, you guys really got going on the ground. Curious what changed, because you had six attempts for 5 yards in the first half.
Yeah, I thought, you know, after the first few series that it was going to be a game where we may just want to abandon the run and just work play action pass and screens and quick game and drop back, because it looked like it was wasted plays when we did hand it off. But fortunately, we got it going, and credit the coaches for staying with it. And for whatever reason, it started to work. We had a couple of those outside zone runs that hit, had a couple inside zones that hit, a couple of zone reads. And it was just a nice way to move the football, you know, and it makes a big difference. It certainly, I think, took some pressure off our passing game, but also opened up our passing game so that when we did play action pass or when we did try to throw it, we were more efficient, more effective. And it helps us stay out of those third downs or stay out of third and longs. And, you know, those possessions where we did run the football well may have been the difference in the game.
You know what I've noticed is Jamison Crowder has reemerged back to his 2016-2015 form over the last few weeks. He had a career-best 141 last night. After Thompson went down, you go back to the final couple drives in New Orleans, he was catching a million balls, it seemed like, between the numbers. Is that a Thompson injury thing? Is he just healthier than he was early in the year? What's clicked for Crowder?
You know, I'm not sure to say exactly. I don't know why it was a slower start for him this year. You know, probably a combination of factors, and a lot of it isn't even his fault. Sometimes it's just scheme and play call, and they're, you know, if you look at the plays, they're just not going to get him the football in certain looks. But he's done a great job stepping up. He can play. I mean, he's put enough stuff on tape. We know what he can do, and other teams know what he can do. But we just have to continue to give him opportunities, put him in a position to be successful, and he's one of our better players on the entire team, and he helps us in so many different ways, and we have to continue to be creative, getting him the opportunities to touch the football and make plays for us.
Kirk Cousins, fan question of the week is presented by Mitsubishi Electric Cooling and Heating. Mitsubishi Electric Systems can heat or cool multiple rooms or just one room at a time with no ductwork, while saving you up to 40% off your energy bills compared to traditional HVAC. Learn more at MitsubishiComfort.com. Kirk, question comes from Thomas in D.C. wants to know, what is it about the Giants? That's a good defense, but Philadelphia's got a good defense, and you torched them over your career. You've done the same to Dallas. What is it about the Giants that has kind of given you guys some extra challenge?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know that any one answer just explains it. I think the fact that they have invested in some great players, they've drafted some great players. You can go down the line of guys on their defense who are legitimate Pro Bowl type players year in and year out. So first of all, great players. I also think Coach Spagnuolo, his scheme, the way he mixes in pressures, different fronts, drops eight at times, will bring an all-out pressure at pretty much anywhere on the field. He really keeps you guessing and makes it a chess match all game long. And, it has been a bit of a grind against them in the past few years for whatever reason. And I think, again, I went back and watched the last game of last year in preparation for this game, and we just didn't run the ball effectively. And I think that's also a challenge. When you just completely shut down the run, life's going to be tough. And, I think in the times we have done better against the Giants or in individual series where we've moved the ball better, it's been because we've been able to have a mix of run and pass and stay ahead of the chains.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. What happened on that 4th-and-1 sequence? I mean, is Jay telling you in your headset, get off the field, we're punting, you guys come over. It looked like Scherf talked him into it. You go call a timeout. And then you guys weren't even close to getting a playoff before the delay of game.
Yeah, from what I could gather, the punt team ran on. I walked off, and then I saw Brandon basically telling him, we're going for this, we're going to get it. Jay, I guess, agreed and called the timeout. And then we called for our trade personnel, our three tight end personnel grouping to come on the field. I'm standing there ready to go, got the play call. And the ref then, sets the play clock, blows the whistle. And I realized, we only got 10 guys in here. Where's our 11th guy? And not only that, but I don't even believe we may have even had two receivers in the huddle when we only needed one. So there was a big substitution error. And I'm looking to the sideline at any moment waiting for, the right personnel to come on. And as the clock ticked and the seconds ticked off and no one was coming on, I realized we're running out of time here. And then I just tried to call a similar play with the personnel we had. And by the time I called and we got to the line of scrimmage, there was no time left. So we took the delay game and punted. But that's the kind of thing that, it can't happen. It shouldn't happen. And we have to be more on top of things. Otherwise, that'll come back and bite you more often than not.
Kirk, I want to go to a couple plays from you to Josh Doctson. One, kind of the first thing that set up some points for you all is just down the field, giving him a shot, pass interference, turns into a 40-yard play. You guys get the field goal. And then just one of my favorite plays of the year, right at the top of his route, ball's released, perfect throw, perfect toe tap, great catch, just giving the guy a chance to make plays. Go into those and kind of the workings of the decision and then those throws.
Yeah, the first one was a good call by Jay. That was essentially in a two-minute type situation, and that was just supposed to be a drive starter, and they go to single high coverage, which enables Josh to be one-on-one down the sideline with the corner. And I like giving him a chance, and either it's a jump ball or a pass interference or a completion. And, then the pass interference put us down in field goal range. And then the down pass to Josh really was a play action. We're trying to get Niles Paul up the right side of the field. Hopefully they bite on the play action and Niles can slip through, but they did a good job not buying the fake. And Josh did the job of selling as if he was just cutting off run on the backside and allowed the corner to kind of fall asleep and think that it was just a weak attempt at a block. And then Josh can suddenly pull out of it and we can throw that throwback play to him. So, it worked well. It wasn't designed to go to him specifically, but he's a good outlet. And sure enough, we were able to hit it, and it was a enormous play in the outcome of the game.
Kirk Cousins joins us after every Redskins game on Grant and Danny. We talked last week about you playing your best football. I want to go into a couple specifics from yesterday. First of all, the pick six. I've always kind of thought that the idea that you were just going to go cry in the corner of the sideline and lay in the fetal position and hold and suck your thumb was overrated and stupid. But you throw a pick, and it didn't even seem like you were phased. I mean, is that because hey, that it was an incompletion, my toe got stuck, but, it really wasn't my fault? Or is it because at this point you just view interceptions differently than you once did?
Yeah, combination of things. Dropping back, I saw cover two. I wanted to work my left side there. I had a basic in cut that would be nice versus cover two, but I felt like they were underneath it and had taken it away. And so I wanted to check it down. I also felt pressure on my right side. It really wasn't a defensive player, but Morgan Moses had kind of turned around and was getting close to me, and I felt like, you know, he was there for a reason. There must be somebody on my backside. And so I kind of rushed the throw or short-armed it to try to make sure my arm didn't get stripped and try to avoid that negative play. And the ball's a little high, very unlucky the way it tips up, and Janoris Jenkins makes that play. But, yeah, I just felt like our defense had been playing so well. It was a shame to basically, you know, give the Giants 7 points in at a time when our defense was just holding them in check. But, you know, tough play. You shrug your shoulders. You move on. And at that point, we can't get down. It's 10-10. Our defense is playing phenomenally. If we can get down and even get a field goal, we got a good chance to win the game. So we felt like everything we needed was still right there. And, yeah, you know, that whole narrative of, you know, interceptions bothering you, I mean, that's just – yeah, that should have died a long time ago. And, you know, if anything, when I throw a pick, you know, I want the ball in my hand. I want to get the ball back, and I want to drop back and throw it, and I want to be able to, you know, fix what just happened.
Yeah, and I think that narrative has now died, but it took probably longer than it should have. But the other thing I think that was on display yesterday is the touchdown throw to Crowder. When you get out of the pocket, you extend, you're running toward the line of scrimmage. I remember one specific play, you're rolling against your body, you make a throw back of the end zone to Reed against Cleveland last year that was somewhat similar in the red area. But the extension of plays, I mean, the red zone, a lot of times, you need that. Like, I watch Matt Stafford and guys like that, and they're just kind of rolling all over the place and firing into windows. Did you feel particularly good about that as kind of a big money play at the position?
Yeah, that was a big play to be able to scramble like that. We had a one as well in the other end zone at the end of the first half to Ryan Grant where, you know, it was just tough because he's working against my body. I'm rolling right, and he's running left, and so there's a level of playing off schedule and scrambling that maybe because we don't do it a lot, we also don't get very good at it. And we always talk about experience. Now experience helps us play well in any area of the game. And when we don't have a lot of experience playing with those scramble rules and off schedule, we maybe aren't the best at doing it, but we need to get better at that. We need to have, you know, those eligibles continue to work and find ways to get open so that we can make those plays. But there's no doubt that it starts with me being willing to hold on to the football a little longer, push up and out of the pocket, keep my eyes downfield. We're so good with our bootlegs and rolling out on those plays that we should be able, in theory, to get very similar outcomes just on an off-schedule play off of a dropback. So hopefully we can do more of that. I do believe that as I play longer, I'm just going to get better and better and better at that. And the more you play, the more you can see where you need to improve, and you can go focus on that stuff in the offseason and through training camp and through the preseason.
Kirk, what's the schedule look like for you guys now? I mean, it's still, you got another Thursday game, so instead of the 10 days off, you kind of are a more normal rest time. But again, the schedule's kind of quirky in the holiday and everything. What's it going to look like here this next week?
Yeah, we're just pushed up 3 days from where we normally would be. So today is our traditional off day, which would be a Monday and a Sunday to Sunday week. And then Saturday will be like a Tuesday. And that's when we'll watch the film of this previous game. Get coached up on it, and then we'll start preparation for Dallas as well on Saturday. And then Sunday, Monday will be our long practice days. And then Tuesday will be our final wrap-up day with red zone emphasis, and then Wednesday we'll fly to Dallas. But, you know, it'll be a challenging environment. Dallas is going to be hungry for a win. We're going to be hungry for a win. It's going to be your classic NFC East matchup with a lot on the line. And in prime time, you know, what more could you want? We've got to be ready to go. And again, you know, we still are going to have a lot of young players playing. We're going to have to fight through some injuries and find the best 11 to go out there and move the football and make something happen.
Kirk, the field seemed to give you some fits last night that it normally doesn't. Did it play differently or worse than sometimes it does?
You know, what I noticed, yeah, it probably doesn't look like a professional NFL field should, first of all. Second of all, I watched last year's game at the end of the season and had forgotten how many times running backs, receivers, people had slipped while playing. And I, you know, I don't know if that's we need to get the longer cleats on or what it is, but you know, if you think the field is rough now on Thanksgiving, I mean, we got two more home games in mid to late December, and that's probably going to be a bigger challenge. So it is what it is. You know, I don't know why it is that way or what causes it. I've kind of learned to just accept it and understand it as a part of the deal that, you know, playing here, the field just has never been that great in the second half of the season for whatever reason. But, you know, I remember even going back to the playoff game, my rookie year, that it just gets in rough shape as the year goes on. And, you know, we got to control what we can control, which is put on the right set of cleats or, you know, have good footing, but we can't use it as an excuse. And There's too many times where, you know, we have crucial plays where we have to have better footing, because it can be the difference in a win or a loss, or in a staying on the field or punting when a guy slips and we don't make the play.
Kirk, throughout this year, the Giants have really scuffled in terms of covering tight ends. I think they've given up a touchdown catch to a tight end in almost every game this season, or something close to that. A lot of folks thought Vernon was going to have a huge role in this one. Looked like he had to block a little bit more. Was that kind of by design to help out this sort of rotating cast of offensive linemen? And I guess in the middle of the field, Jamison obviously made up for a lot of that with his career day. But a lot of folks thought Vernon Davis would be more involved. What was the design there?
Yeah, you know, there are sometimes they just covered it well. You know, we ran a few bootlegs where Vernon often gets the ball, and they just had him covered. They were ready for it. We also run a lot of play action passes with Vernon, where really they did a good job of passing off routes and zoning things off and covering it well and really taking away the check down. So some of that was just good coverage, good coaching by the Giants. And, you know, there's just other times where we were running the ball effectively and maybe just didn't go to the air as much or didn't have those opportunities. You know, we threw it 31 times, but it's not like we threw it 45. And sometimes when you throw it 15 more times, you're going to get more opportunities as a tight end. But, other times in man covers, they were just covered, and I didn't try to fit it in that window. I went elsewhere, or unfortunately, at times took a sack. So, you know, it was a challenge all day long, and in a lot of ways, we knew it was going to be like that. But you know, Vernon has been such a key piece of our offense this year. I'm so glad we re-signed him. He's such a great teammate, and he's really still has a lot of juice even at his age. So he's been huge, especially in Jordan Reed's absence. We really need a guy like that who can push the ball down the field from the tight end position.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny. All right, before we let you go, two more quick ones here. The first, a report came out yesterday that basically, I know it's been 2.5 years, but the front office isn't quite sure what they're going to do yet, and they think if you can carry the team toward the playoffs that maybe that would win them over. Did you see that report at all? Did you acknowledge it before the game? Does that even kind of infiltrate in any way what you're doing pregame?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't know about it. You know, I can understand the unique situation that it is, and you're trying to find value in every player at every position. So if you still need five more games or five plus to make a decision, you know, so be it. But I'd like to think that I've played a lot of football here. I've been here 6 years, and I think the people in the building have gotten to know me, who I am as a man, who I am as a football player, what I'm about, and who I'm going to be going forward. And I'd like to think they can make an informed decision regardless. But you know, if they need five more games, so be it. But I understand the need to find value and understand what you're getting. So, you know, I'm going to do my best. It isn't the first time, you know, I've been told, hey, go prove it. Go show us what you got. That's kind of been, you know, the theme. So in that sense, you know, it's welcome territory. And we look forward to these five games and seeing what we can do as a team.
In fairness, though, Kirk, you've only been putting up Pro Bowl numbers for 43 games. So settle down. Five more games are critical to this process. Lastly, Thanksgiving plate. I'd love to critique you as a guy who's not fat enough on your Thanksgiving plate. So please tell me when you eat your Thanksgiving meal today with your family, what will be on your plate and what won't be.
Oh, I'm so excited for this. Can't wait to eat our Thanksgiving meal. I was looking forward to it all week. It's going to taste a lot better after a win. But we're all, you know, pretty traditional family. We're going to have turkey, gravy, cranberry sauce. We'll do some stuffing, some green bean casserole. I'm sure we'll have some rolls, sweet potatoes, and we'll probably finish. I'm more of a blueberry pie guy. I know that's not really a Thanksgiving pie, but we'll also have some pumpkin pie and keep it pretty standard. So, you know, I'm a guy who just loves to keep it traditional, and I'm going to go to town. I'll probably have three meals today. I figure I eat about 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 7 o'clock.
You've
so that's
it.
Kind of my routine today.
Mac and cheese or no mac and cheese on the table?
You know, we did not grow up as a mac and cheese family.
Terrible.
But that is a phenomenal addition. It's just not the way I grew up. So it's not something we do in the Cousins household. But if I were to be invited over to someone else's Thanksgiving or come to the Paulson household, I would welcome a mac and cheese addition to my plate.
You know what? It's never too late to make an adjustment at the line. Tell Julie 52 is Mike. Let's get some mac and cheese on that
Kirk,
plate.
Kirk, I've been begging for more than a decade with my wife's family to include the mac and cheese, but they just don't see it as traditional. I'm going, well, let's make our own tradition. Let's make our
Amen.
Own memories.
This is Cooper's first Thanksgiving, so if there was ever a time to turn over a new leaf and start doing something in a new way, why not this year? But we'll see if they can pull it together. They only have a couple hours here before we sit down, so we'll see what we can do.
Kirk, thanks for the time. I'm really curious to see what kind of quarterback you are in the next five games. I've only been watching you since 2012. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. We'll
appreciate
see you.
It. Happy Thanksgiving, Kirk Cousins. Buddy. Happy Thanksgiving to him. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.